Blog Talk Radio.
It's the sort of thing better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referee's whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football. 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 Football.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is.
Like water. Be water, my friend.
Good evening, this is Rob, the NPR podcast. I am the Matrix. You can check on the show, Flag Football. America.com/KOP division in the Philadelphia Flag Football League. You can also check out the show live, blogtalkradio.com/flagfootball. Week four in the books. In terms of regular gameplay, not really third week in terms of that there was a bye week, an accidental bye week in terms of weather, and then we had the visit from Colton area, so that sort of delayed things. But now we're in the really pretty much getting to almost halfway point of the season. Most teams have played four games, some have played only three. How can Russell just wrap up over the standings, kind of go through all the week four games? There was actually 10 games. Some teams have doubleheaders, so we're kind of feathering out. Really just big picture-wise, you know, in terms of the league, right, offensive down a little bit, closer games, more competitive games. Games, they just pretty much have one, I guess you could say, quote-unquote, two quote-unquote blowouts for the most part, and sort of trying to keep pace and really set themselves up for making the playoff run. Really wasn't too much of an issue in terms of teams had a lot of rust. It seems like most teams either had took that week off sort of to get themselves on the same page. There's a few teams that are still sort of struggling, trying to find their way in terms of getting their offense to going, get the defensive going, but interesting games nonetheless. Something I'll do first is hit the standings. Now, looking at the standings, two things happened. Spartans did lock up with the Mustangs, and Spartans come out on the end of the defeat there. So, right, they were cruising 3-0. We actually had Eric and DeAndre on the show last week, so Spartans dropped their first game, so that pretty much leaves three undefeated teams, at least NWL, Mustangs, and the Bulls. At some point, right, these teams will play each other. Scheduling-wise, it'll fit where they'll play each other. I think pretty much by week seven, I think they pretty much will play each other. But at the moment, three teams that are undefeated have yet to lose a game. On the opposite end of the spectrum, got one-on-one in Stallions. If you told me at this point the Stallions would be winless. Now, to their credit, they've definitely played teams in the top upper echelon of the league. I think they have played the Mustangs. I think they did play the Bulls. I think they did play NWO. I don't know if they played the Spartans. So, at the moment, Stallions are sitting at 0-4. An interesting thing with them is that they're not scoring a whole lot of points, but giving up a whole lot of points, 83. But this week, and we'll get to that game, they lost sort of in a sort of dramatic fashion against USOI. So, how does standing sort of rack up is, at the moment, you got NWO 4-0. There she's scoring the most points in the league and allowing the least. No surprise. Mustangs follow. And second place with 89 points scored, 24 given up. So they're in second place. Bulls only played three games, so they haven't had a doubleheader yet. So they sit at third place, followed by Spartans at 3-1. USOI 3-2. Fun and Gun evened up at 2-2. With Action Crazy, Hot Boys, and SPD all with one win. SPD actually getting their first win, even though they did drop a, they played a doubleheader. And then the Stallions and 1-1 are rounding out at the bottom of the league and with no wins. But that may change. 1-1 actually played USOI this past week. So, let's go into the matchup. Let's go through them in terms of scores, results, highlights from week one. Let's look at the first one, 9 o'clock game. First 9 o'clock game was Fun and Gun beats 1-1, 47-6. They scored 27 points in the first half. Added on another three touchdowns to pretty much seal the game up. 1-1. I think they had the first two games where they were defeated by scoring no points. Now they've actually been able to score a touchdown or two in these last 2 weeks. So they've each, I think they scored six in the past 2 weeks. Like I said, the chances of them maybe winning the game is not great, but I think what's good about them is they had a good attitude. They come out and play. They play hard. A Fun and Gun, We'll get to the other game a little later. Still a little inconsistent. I mean, like I said, you get a team that sort of just prides themselves on just playing loose, and sometimes, you know, you're just not getting precision. I mean, a lot of drop passes, some plays where they weren't concentrating, but didn't really become a factor in this game. So they did defeat the 1-on-1 by over 30. So they beat them 47-6. First game of the game, the 9 o'clock game, is NWO beats SPD 25-6. Now, other than, actually, that's interesting to note, is that other than the first half shut out by NWO, interesting thing here is that Lavelle came back. Now, I think he had signed with SPD late last season, but he definitely played his first game this season, of the season, this past week. Other than SPD really having some difficulty moving the ball, he actually was the bright spot, scored a touchdown early in the first half, pretty much like a dump pass, and took it to the house, and had about 3 sacks. So with Lavelle back, and then with SPD, although they did not win this game, they did win in their next game against Fun and Gun. So when you look at SPD's right now, I'm still going to be quarterback. We got Brian back on defense. With Lavelle back rushing, I think what will happen is they'll be able to keep some of these games a little closer than they've been in the last couple of weeks, but they still are having issues scoring points. Just trouble getting it down the field. Found not as mobile, not running as much, so that'll be interesting to see where they end up with the season. But defensively, I think that's a big help to get those two players back. Sort of paid off because in their next game, these are the two 10 o'clock games. They did beat Fun and Gun 43-21. And you look at the game, on paper, it was close in the first half. It was 20-14. But then Fun and Gun was prone to those lapses of just sort of not focusing. They weren't able to hold on and sort of maintain the lead. So one thing you think about SBD is that, right, if Dom gets hot, he tends to stay hot. Hopefully, if this is something of a sign to come, maybe SPD can go on a run here, maybe get in the sixth or fifth or fourth seed. Kind of depends on where they're going to sit for the rest of the season. So, but they do get the first win of the season, the 10 o'clock game, by beating Fun and Gun 43-21. And like I said, I put Fun and Gun in sort of that same group, USLI, where you probably don't want to face that team in the playoffs because they've got a ton of experience. And then for the most part, they tend not to they can play games where they really play in sync, they play together, and they play on target. So in terms of a team that, you just want to sort of be weary of is Fun and Gun. Like I said, we'll get to the USLI game in a moment. Don't know if we have S-Dot in the studio, but Joe just walked in. And Joe, just for commenting on two things, SPD sort of, Lavelle picked up Brian, H comes back for them defensively, and then on the NWO game, you all pretty much were able to sort of cruise in your first victory. Anything of note, I guess, in that first game, in your first victory of week five?
I think that in the second half against SPD, you can kind of see them click back together. I think it took a couple of games for them to get back into the move of things and the rhythm. But, in the second half, they were definitely a different team than the first half. And then, it carried on to the second game. So I think that they're going to, get back to where they were. But, everybody's getting a little seasoned. So it took them an extra game or two to get back into form. But I think they'll be all right. And I think they're still one of the teams to, make a serious run.
No, there was one thing, Gordon was making note to me was that, right, in terms of your team, NWO, right, because most will forget, that right now, right, most forget that NWO probably turned about half your roster, right? There's no Aaron, or he hasn't played yet. Urias hasn't played. You don't have Jules this semester. You picked up a couple new players, Shane and Sean. Kind of quietly, you sort of just kind of limited the roster was a little smaller. I mean, obviously you got your veteran Scott, and you got obviously Brandon and Jeff, but is that intentional? Was there any reason why those players weren't back, or is it just that they just haven't started playing yet?
Well, Urias is coming off that injury still, so he'll be back soon, but we didn't want to rush him back, so we picked up a couple people. Aaron's got some work to do, but, as far as the core goes, it's still the same. Scott, the girls, Jeff, Brandon, everybody, it's still the same. We're still kicking, so we're all right. We just we needed to fix a couple pieces because, a couple of people, life happens, sometimes injury or work or what have you. But, things happen, and we had to take put a couple pieces back in there.
And then on to your second game against the Hot Boys. Now, the Hot Boys are an interesting case here. And you look at this, and from what Gordon tells me, you kind of see the picture here. Is that right? They definitely are a team that defensively have improved. If he, I don't know if he regrets it or not, but he definitely kind of made it vocal that he was clear to them that he sort of could have picked a bunch of teams and signed with them. But defensively, this team is a stronger team. I mean, I think they're in the top four or five in terms of defenses, but offensively, they're starting to have issues. When you played them right, you did beat them 12-0. They did get an interception for I think it was an interception for a score, and then you did score another passing touchdown. In terms of defensively, does that team improve defensively? And offensively, they're going to have issues, even if you got free receiver. It's just that defensively, that's a much improved team.
You know what? I'll absolutely give credit where credit's due. There was a lot of talk on Facebook with me and CJ and you know, this and that. But that team is a serious contender. Their defense is really, really good. Their offense is going to need a little tweaking. He needs to learn how to read a little bit, get the ball in the right playmaker's hands. But I'll tell you what, that defense is no joke. You know, it was 18-0. We struggled a little bit. You know, the second half was kind of even. We got lucky. We got a nice Ace got a nice pick six there. We scored early. You know, but that defense is no joke. You know, I thought they'd beat SBD on a fluke, but I can certainly see why they did beat SBD.
You know, and you look at that team, you know, they've given up only 53 points. So other than NWO, Mustangs, Bulls, and Spartans, they're sitting pretty much as the fifth-ranked defense. Now, obviously, on the flip side of that, they've only scored 32 points. I mean, you have teams who you know, who with a lot better records are scoring more points than them, but they just aren't even able to score enough points. So, you know, it might be one of those situations where, right, maybe they can, with turnovers, they may be able to turn over some points on the defensive end of the ball, but, you know, I think he's got his hands full in terms of, right, just sort of keeping them calm and then not sort of getting them distracted. They really need to be focused in the game. So,
yeah, you're right.
That's pretty much
what I
noticed out there.
Yeah, no, you know what, and I'll admit it. It was the first time I've ever been really talked to about, you know, being teed up or anything. But I was doing it on purpose. They were doing very, very well, and I know Fee kind of got, you know, into everybody, and they're a little bit young, so to make it harder on them, I was getting in their heads. You know, had I not done that, but I was doing it on purpose so that they would get frustrated with each other, so they would break down. But, you know, they're young, they're good, they're good young talent. It reminds me a lot about the Soul. You know, they're building their way up. They're slowly putting pieces in there. And, you know, now they're the Mustangs. Now they're the second best team in the league. And, you know, I definitely see that HNF can, you know, certainly be there in a year or two had they keep the same team.
Yeah, and you look at the team, I think this, you know, obviously in different shades of their different lineups of the roster. I mean, if you take Cuddy, and then they got a couple other players who've been there. Obviously, CJ, their core team, the first four or five players have been there for a while, right? And I think adding Fee can help, but obviously Fee just has to kind of be clear what his role is. I know he can definitely help defensively, but offensively he's going to have to be patient, just flat out. I mean, you know, like I said, CJ doesn't have the arm strength to be swinging it over the field, and although he can run, he isn't going to be breaking off 20, 30-yard runs like a Brandon or even Dom to some extent, or even some of your other mobile quarterbacks. So it's going to be interesting to see how they finish off the season. I think the next couple games, I think they've got I think they're playing the Bulls 1-1 in USO Live. So maybe in there they can rattle off a win or two. But for them, it's just about getting ready for the playoffs. I mean, they definitely could draw, you know, a 6th or 7th seed. But just depending on where things shake out. So let's go back to the other 10 o'clock game. Let's do the 11 o'clock game. So the 9 o'clock game, 10 o'clock game, let's do the 11 o'clock games. 1-1 loses to USO Live 34-6. Like I said, you don't expect, you know, 1-1 to be able to score a lot of points, although they still hang in there and try. USO Live, though, most teams really, I mean, they've played them, but they don't really realize how deep this team is. I mean, they've got a full roster. They've got three females. They have athletic players. They're doing some sort of weird wildcat sort of rotation where they have like three quarterbacks who can play the position, and they'll change it up on the series. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but they're definitely making an impact. You wouldn't expect the team to be sitting about 5 or 6 right now, but they are. So, you know, USLI definitely changed their fortunes around, and they're really looking to make a run towards the end of the season.
Yeah, I can certainly see that. They're doing they're actually playing a lot better than they came in, and you know, they're right there in the middle of the pack. I'll tell you what, that if USLI in that Hot Boys game, that's going to be a game of the week. That's going to be a good game to watch.
And really just a matter of quarterback. I know they've had Pat and Trey playing different, rotating through. We'll get to the last game in a moment. But, yeah, for the most part, yeah, if against sub-500 teams or teams that are kind of struggling, they definitely will beat those teams in the past. They might have dropped the game, but it really doesn't look like they're going to lose too many losing teams. So they did win their first game 34-6. Interesting game. This was a game of 2 undefeated. It dropped from 4 teams down to 3, but the Mustangs-Spartans game, interesting thing in that game is that, right, Kyle, who basically was moved in at quarterback, didn't play this game. They had Jerome playing at quarterback, but no Carlos. Actually, at the one point in the game, they only had 6 players, and then everyone sort of came in late, and they didn't manage to sort of hang in there with the Spartans. I mean, the thing about the Spartans is I think it really is a situation where you have a lot of, you know, personalities in that team, and then you've got Eric and DeAndre and Deontay. I just think Storm is just probably overthinking a few things offensively and just not letting it rip, but he's got a lot of hands to get the ball in. I mean, Joe, in your experience, when everyone's asking for the ball, everyone wants the ball, how do you satisfy, because everyone wants the ball. You wouldn't want to play with a bunch of guys who don't want to catch the ball, but how does the quarterback help make, keep everyone happy and win games?
Well, you know what? I know he could definitely spread the ball around a little bit more. That was something that we all seen from the sideline. But I'll tell you what, the reason they lost that game against the Mustangs was not that he wasn't spreading the ball around. Early in the first half, they were at a 4th and long, and they threw an incomplete pass. Well, the Mustangs ended up capitalizing and scoring on a short field, and I think they only lost by 6. So I know that there was 2. It was 12-6, right? And I know that there was 2 fourth downs in the first half. I think it was, you know, first drive, second drive for the Mustang or for the Spartans, that they should have kicked they should have did a punt, and instead they gave them real good field position. They ended up losing by 1 touchdown, which, you know, they should have capitalized on that. They should have played smarter ball, but it just goes to show you how good the Mustangs are. You know, they were winning with 6 and everything. And actually, Kyle did come in and play quarterback, because I know Jerome there, Mr. Chicken, ended up burning him deep a couple times being a receiver there.
He absolutely did. He actually ended up, and he ran one in as well, and then Chaz came, because they played a doubleheader. Chaz came in and got there a little late as well, and came in, which has definitely helped, and they got their 2nd touchdown. The other thing, too, is, right, had a bunch of picks in this game. One thing, too, about Storm is, right, in terms of rushing it, trying to get into the offense, he had 4 picks in the game, 3 picks, and he got sacked 4 times. So 2 picks to Jerome, then the pick to Austin. The other thing, too, in that game is, you know, it's big picture. This is general, and we all know flag football. If you take up gender play where a female has to be involved and you have men on the team, right, if you look at a flag football game, there's about 40 plays. I mean, 35 to 40. So you really just, you know, you just have to stay focused on the time that your numbers call. You just got to be ready. But you got, like I said, with Saad and Dante on that team, they definitely want to get the ball. But I think overall, I think there's been poor execution of extra points. That scoring's down. I think there's been poor execution on when to punt, when to give the ball away. Teams just sort of realizing, hey, we'll gamble with the ball if it's in the first zone and not just punting it away and trying to make a stop. So, but, right, everyone wants to play, so you kind of get caught up in just wanting to get as many reps as possible. So, but
yep.
That does drop the
spot.
We got to
tell DeAndre.
What was that, Jim?
I'm saying you got to tell DeAndre it's not Madden. I know he'll go for it on 4th and long in Madden, but you know, you go for it on 4th and long and miss, and you're going to end up losing the game.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because if they really pump the ball maybe one of the times you mentioned, right, that could be a 6-6 game going. You could have kept that game 6-6 well until the second half, and you really should put the pressure on the other team to score. And they were down a man or two. So, like I said, Gordon told me this, you know, Carlos might not be available for the short term, but we'll see what happens on that next week. Let's do 2 12 o'clock games and we'll hit the power rankings and then wrap things up. One thing I'll note too, and I think they did play a second game. I'll double check the scores here. They did play a second game. Is the new female on the Spartans, Jenna, definitely a player to watch out for. I mean, you know, I think one of the later games she was pretty much going against 3 females, but good speed, good route running. I think obviously with any female she has to kind of learn the system, but doing good. Let's go in the second Mustang game because they played back-to-back. Beat the Stallions 19-6. Not too much controversy here other than the fact that look at the Stallions. I mean, they hung in there. The thing about the Stallions this year is they got really solid veterans. They've got Brett. They've got Justin. They've got Kenny. So I just think for the fact that the Stallions are just sort of playing down really a deep threat at the safety position. Because you got C. Rich back there playing safety, and he can make plays, but he's not going to consistently make plays. But there's no way he's going to be able to guard Jerome. I mean, just a different in age, different in speed. So he got burned twice where
not fair.
He was deep, and it is not something you ask him to do.
Yeah, I agree. I understand he's got a pride. You know, he's been playing the game a long time. You know, I get it, but you know, sometimes you just can't, you know. Come on, see Rich, man. You can't stick them out there. These young dudes, man. They're half your age, man. You can't do that.
You cannot do that. And that's why, you know, I know Fee had played with them, I think, the first week. That would have been a good fit. Like, if we had Fee and Brett, a.k.a. Tenacious, back there in the secondary, then that could have worked. But obviously, with Fee, you're getting some other things that you got to deal with. So maybe that might have been too much for one team, having Fee and C. Rich on one team.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you what, that Stallions team that we played in the first game, it was tough, man. It was tough with Fee. They didn't have Tenacious, though. So, you know, it's hard to say.
All right, so let's get to these last. Let's do these two games at once. And like I said, 10, you know, when that stops here, I let him do all the Rand and Raven. The only thing I'm going to mention this, and I'll kind of put it out there, right, and I'm going to knock these two games out. The 11 o'clock game and then the first 12 o'clock game is Action Crazy gets whacked with shut out against the Bulls and the Spartans. So they get shut out 14-0, and then they get shut out 6-0. Now, obviously, I don't believe Craig played yet. Dave coming in at quarterback, but that team is on fine fast. And I can see, you know, not having everyone on the same page. I can see trying to add new players, but to come out and to drop in 2 back-to-back shutouts is troublesome. I mean, I'm not going to ask you to get on here and sort of give your opinion on where you think they're at, but just the fact that just indicates that there's no leadership at all. Because in most games, unless you're just a struggling team, you should be able to manage up a touchdown and not 2 back-to-back eggs on the board.
Agreed. That's unacceptable. Polino knows better than that.
You know, and granted, they're playing against 2-1. They were playing well at the point. At the earlier poll, the Bulls were undefeated. And obviously with the Bulls, you got Scott, you got, you know, Ryan, experienced team, and then the Spartans right there were coming off a loss. And they both played good defenses. But you just get worried about a team like Action Crazy because, you know, you look at the roster, it looks like they just haven't gelled at all. So you got to figure out, if, you know, in terms of their upcoming games, you know, they got to play SBD next week, Fun and Gun, Stallions, NWO. So you're looking at a stretch here where they could drop, even if they drop half those games, they could be looking at, you know, only about 3 or 4 wins in the season because they've dropped 3 in a row. So, you know, you just kind of hope they can get it together and get themselves back on track. But not the team that I thought they would be coming into this point this season.
Agreed. Same here, man. I thought they were going to put up, you know, they have a little injury, though. Johnny's out. You know, so they're kind of plugging away, but, you know, we did expect more from them, definitely.
So the Bulls get their third win, and then the Spartans did beat them 6-0. But granted, you know, they did only hold them to 6, so good for the Spartans. They sort of bounced back from that loss. And like I said, overall, I think the Spartans are going to be in there to stay. I think it's a good thing they've got things to work on, so that looks good. Last game of the day game, I don't know if you stuck around for the game, but Gordon told me about this one. USLI beats Stallions in the last play of the game, Hail Mary. They throw it to, like, the, I think he's like 6'6", receiver James on the very last play, and USLI beats the Stallions 19-13. I think the thing to note to this game was that it was a close game. Actually, at one point they were down and came back. But, I mean, a win like that of the Stallions, maybe the first time beating that franchise, I think that puts USLI definitely in the next phase. I definitely think they're, you know, definitely a team that could be a dark horse in the playoffs. You may not want to draw them on the first round this year.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I know that they made some significant improvements, and I've seen that big dude win a couple of games for him. So I know the Stallions don't have really much size, but where was Tenacious at for that? Tenacious had to be on that. I wish I got to watch his team matrix. I really do. I didn't get to stick around for that. I had to work.
Yeah, he was out there. He definitely out there. Now, granted, this was the Stallions' second game, so Tenacious was definitely out there. Actually, he had two picks in the game, and then he had two touchdowns. So in terms of Tenacious, he did all the heavy lifting. He had two touchdown receptions from C. He had two picks. Kenny on the Stallions had a pick. I just think the fact that the USOI had so many players, there was a little bit of fatigue, I think, on the Stallions end. And they just definitely had different rotations through. So that just sort of kept them off guard. And it was a later game. So I think that's going to bode for USOI that in terms of if it's a first-round game and they can survive into the second round, I mean, they're going to wear a team down. We saw Crazy sort of do that in the last season, but I think USOI could be a team that you don't want to draw in the first round. So, but, yeah, they definitely had Tenacious. I think Mike Lawrence got an extra point. And then I think Pat, their quarterback, actually caught a touchdown pass and threw one, in addition to Trey throwing one. So definitely USO, like I said, you know, they don't have the names on the back of the jersey, no nicknames, corporate team, but doing well. Any other things that stood out to you in week 5, Joe, before we hit the power rankings and wrap this up?
I'm sorry, I missed what you said, Team Matrix.
No, anything other thing that came up, note, anything you wanted to know? One thing that I wanted to mention, I think scoring's been down a little bit. But other than that, just a lot of missed extra points. But anything you wanted to bring up as we that you noticed in week 5?
Nope. I got nothing. I know that everybody needs to relax a little bit. I've seen you get a little bit more, you know, everybody got a little bit more worked up this week as opposed to prior seasons. And, you know, it's good that everyone has a passion, but everyone has to realize, like, you know, relax, including me, like I said. But I did it on purpose, but I know it was me too.
Yeah, that's a good point you're bringing up. I think intensity-wise, like I said, I don't think there's ever been an issue with the teams not playing intense. I think the refs give a warning, hey, you know, no talking to the other team, no yelling. But 99% of the time, it's just in competitive play. So that's just something that you sort of expect. And I think Gordon's kind of takes the attitude that, you know what, that's just going to happen. You got people who are competitive. I think the league's really good about leaving that stuff on the field, the players too. So it should be an interesting season. Like I said, with the NWO sort of defending their title and the bar not being there, I just feel like it's a wide-open race. I mean, in the sense that your top 16 has got a shot at it, and it's really going to be how they play in the stretch. But interesting to see who will really kind of be there to challenge NWO, if anyone. So let's look at the power rankings real quick. One thing about the power rankings is, I just wanted to mention, is three teams take like a big slide. Fun and Gun, Action Crazy, Hot Boys all slide down to number 8, 9, and 10 in the hot power rankings. Stallions jump up, although they haven't won a game, they jump up to number 7. I think they played like 4 of the top 5 teams. Spartans slide, USOL slides, but SBD is now ranked 4 in the power rankings. So it could just be they're trending up just because they've got some of their players back, or they've got some better players back in the lineup. So pretty much the only thing of note. If you look at the games for next week, interesting game. Obviously, you're involved in this one. First game of the day, NWO versus the Spartans. Now, obviously, the Spartans have already lost their game. I mean, what's going to be the key to NWO beating the Spartans this week?
Just getting to the quarterback early and often, getting their heads a little bit. And, you know, we feel like not physically, but size-wise, we can team up to anybody. And, you know, athletically, we're right there, obviously, in the top. Our girls are going to be the ones. So, you know what, we might even leave it on our girls' hands again. I know they have one good girl, but, you know, it's going to take a lot more than one good girl to stop two great girls, you know. So, you know, we're late. We're like the Patriots. If you can't stop the run, we're going to run it. If you can't stop the girls, we're going to throw it to the girls. You can't stop the guys on the slants, you're going to throw it to the slants. So,
yeah, that's pretty much the key, I think. You know, it should be. I know the Spartans have Rob rushing. He's definitely going to be tested if he's rushing Brandon. So that'll be the first game of the day. Other games of the day, 9 o'clock, will be Stallions versus 1-1. 1-1 at the moment. I haven't won a game. Stallions haven't won a game. So one of those teams will get their first US Alive versus Mustangs. That could be game of the week other than the Spartans game. I mean, US Alive definitely, if they're really wanting to see where they kind of measure up, that's going to be pretty much a really interesting game for them, depending on who's there for the Mustangs. Hot Boys versus Bulls. Bulls undefeated. Hot Boys with one game. See how they Hot Boys bounce back. Then 101 will come back and play the Hot Boys in a doubleheader. Interesting to see if depending on what happens in the Bulls game, if the Hot Boys can knock off two wins in a row. Then you have Action Crazy versus SBD, and then SBD versus the Bulls. So if the SBD really is looking to turn around that their year, this is the two games to do it. It can be an Action Crazy team with one win and can knock off a Bulls team with maybe four wins, but they have at least have three. And then the last game of the day will be Action Crazy versus Fun and Gun. Two wildly inconsistent teams, but should be interesting to see how they stack up. I think Fun and Gun has a little bit of the advantage here because they wouldn't have played had an earlier game. So we'll sort of see how that stacks up. But there'll be two 9 o'clock games, two 10 o'clock games, two 11, a 12, and then a 1. So those are your games for week 6. You can check out the scores highlights on the website, blackfootballamerica.com. Anything else you want to leave us with, Joe, before we head out?
Got nothing. All I have to say is Superman, don't be disrespectful. He's got us only scoring 6 points against him. Don't do that. You're just poking the bear.
Superman with his partner, The Flash. So we'll see how things shake out next week. So it should be an interesting game. So if we get there early, check out the NWO game, Spartans game. I think that's pretty much the game of the week because that's going to really see if and actually NWO's got two big games this week. So if they get out to 6-0 start, I don't see anyone really catching them. And we'll see what happens with the Mustangs in their game. So check out the scores highlights, flagfootballamerica.com/KOP division. You'll see all the stats in there. We'll kind of talk stats and awards next week, who's kind of front running for some of these other awards, but we'll hit that next week. Hoping to get a guest from USLI on briefly. So for no stop this week, but he'll check in as always when he needs to. So for myself, for Joe, for the commish, for the Flag Football Advisory Board, we will see you next week. Check out all the scores on flagfootballamerica.com/KOP, and we will see you next week.